1490 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media
ABC
app.
News, I'm Dave Packer. Former Putin ally Yevgeny Prigozhin is heading to exile in Belarus after a deal to call off his mercenary group's march on Moscow. Secretary of State Antony Blinken telling ABC's This Week that the armed uprising by private troops fighting in Ukraine is a major reversal for Putin's invasion.
16 months ago, Putin was on the doorstep of Kyiv in Ukraine, looking to take the city in a matter of days, erase the country from the map. Now he's had to defend Moscow, Russia's capital, against a mercenary of his own making.
Crews in Montana continue to monitor the Yellowstone River after train cars containing molten sulfur and asphalt derailed, crossing a collapsed bridge over the river. The FBI says it's aware of suspicious letters sent to two Montana lawmakers that contained a mysterious white powder substance. The state's attorney general urging lawmakers to use caution when opening mail. Just last week, similar envelopes sent to Republican lawmakers in Tennessee and around 100 mainly Republican officials in Kansas. This is ABC News. Some San Antonio police officers are facing murder charges. This comes after the three officers were involved in the shooting of a woman apparently suffering from a mental health crisis. The city releasing body camera footage of the confrontation at the woman's home on Friday. The woman was allegedly armed with a hammer. An Indianapolis woman speaking out after she was robbed at gunpoint, then asked about a date by her assailant. ABC's Mark Remillard reports.
Court records say Amber Baron was grabbing her mail in southeast Indianapolis last month when a man came up with a gun and forced himself into her house. Baron says she was told to give the man money, but it didn't stop there. She says he asked to be added on Facebook.
And I thought maybe if I added him on Facebook, that would be it, and he'd leave, and he did.
Later, the man police identified as Damian Boyce messaged her that she was too pretty to rob and then asked her to come chill.
I just can't understand the thought process.
Boyce is charged with armed robbery. Mark Remillard, ABC News.
This is ABC News.
News is brought to you by Gingras Thompson & Wachs, a statewide team of personal injury lawyers getting you the justice you deserve. Call 855-954-1186 for a free consultation. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Why a RICO charge, counselor? What's that mean to the layperson?
It was written for Organized Crime, Racketeer Influenced and Corrupt Organizations Act. That's where RICO comes from. The notion that you've got an entity whose purpose is to try to perpetuate some crime. It's more than just a singular event. It is a composite of kind of a corporate conspiracy doing things toward this illegal end.
Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry
and Jane Matinere.
Before I send boxes over, I have to take all of my things out. These boxes were interspersed with all sorts of things.
But who doesn't stuff their pants and their shoes into a box full of work documents to sort out later? Every time I leave a job, that's what I end up doing with my box of work papers. Bras go in there and just, you know, and I'll sort it out later.
As Goes Wisconsin, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. For many years, Wisconsin communities have had to do more with less money. That will change with the state's new shared revenue plan. Mike Moen reports.
This week, Governor Tony Evers signed a bipartisan agreement that includes what his office says is a 20% increase in state financial support to cities of all sizes. Menominee Mayor Randy Kanak says the aid will help. While his city of 16,000 has been able to keep a balanced budget in recent years, he says the costs are piling up, including health care plans for city staff. And that's not all.
Our streets and our roads really got beat up this last winter, so we're trying to fill potholes and maintain our streets. And then, of course, having a university here, you know, having to have extra fire protection with the additional cost of ambulances and so forth.
While the agreement is bipartisan, it has been criticized on both sides for adding provisions beyond the local government funding. Kanak says cities like Menominee don't always have a stronger voice at the Capitol. He feels there's a need to recognize the detailed efforts to stay economically viable, which can help the rest of the state.
What we have been fortunate to do is we were able to capitalize on our industrial and tech parks and other parts of the community where we were able to capitalize 100% of the taxation funds to build the infrastructure for more business coming in.
Still, he says the rising costs can't be ignored. Kanak says even though the extra aid will reduce some of the budget headaches, municipalities will likely have to keep balancing their needs to keep taxes from rising too much while trying to provide services for residents. Mike Moen, Wisconsin News Connection. Find our rate trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bowen.
When it comes to achieving successful jury verdicts and settlements, one law firm stands out above the rest. Gingras Thompson & Wachs, a $6.2 million settlement for a woman permanently paralyzed as a result of medical malpractice. $4.9 million to members of a family injured due to the negligence of a truck driver and his employer. Call Gingras Thompson & Wachs today, 855-954-1186.
All in to win, Gingras Thompson & Wachs, GTWLawyers.com.
The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how it belongs.
Is this just fantasy? Caught in a landslide. No escape. Reality. Open your eyes.
What is up, Wisconsin? Welcome to Raised in Wisco. I'm your host, Joel Clayfish, alongside my co-host, Danielle Fairman. And have we got an exciting show for you today. I'm so... You know where I just came from, Danielle?
What? Where?
I just came from Butch Ledoux, Ledoux Leather out in... I think he's...
He was on the radio.
Mosquito.
On our show.
Yeah, he was on our show. Mm-hmm. He's a leather guy, and he just put together back skins from my South Africa trip into pillows, and they are so cool. The one I brought in is from a Gemsbach. They call them Horned Oryx in the United States, but they are so cool. They're so cool. Just want to give a shout out to Butch. And, of course, our loyal listeners out in Oconomowoc, the Kennedy clan. I have five loyal listeners.
Woo!
What up, what up? Anastasia, I'm popping the mic levels, aren't I?
I heard it
just happened. We're going to get right to some clips that we have because Chad Belding, national host of The Foul Life, was in town the past few days.
He was.
And Danielle and I attempted to keep up with him.
Not possible.
Bro,
I'm
moves.
Exhausted
I mean,
right now.
Moves. 2 a.m, up at 5 a.m, nonstop all day long. Absolutely awesome trip.
Mm-hmm.
Got to sit down with him and talk about his life a little bit, and you're going to hear those clips throughout the show today, so let's go to that. What is up, Wisconsin? You're listening to Raised in Wisco with Joel Clayfish and Danielle Fairman and the chewing sound.
That's what this show
the
is about.
The chewing
sounds
you you're hearing is the one and only Chad Belding eating a venison cheese weenie from Brad's in Watertown, who does
really
an
good.
Awesome job.
Ooh, I've never heard
venison.
Of Brad's.
Keep them all. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
It's like when you open a drink.
Crispy.
That's I like that snap. That's that casing, that collagen
it's really
casing
good.
On the outside. It's fantastic.
Thank you, Brad.
Brad did a good job. You know, I have to be honest, I'm very excited. You guys hear us talk a lot about the work I get to do with The Foul Life. And The Foul Life, national host of The Foul Life is Chad Belding. And you know, and he's involved with the provider and the provider lifestyle and cooking and bringing food from field to table. And Chad, I've been talking to Chad, Danielle, a lot about how Wisconsin really needs to figure out how to capitalize on the fact that we have some of the best conservation, best resources in the country when it comes to wild game and utilization of the outdoors. And we kind of have, I think Chad, you know, we were talking about it earlier, and Chad was talking about the fact that that is not necessarily the perception
of
by
Wisconsin.
The rest of the country of Wisconsin. What is the perception of Wisconsin, Chad?
Football.
Football.
Bars. Cheese.
Well, those are all accurate descriptions.
Well, I mean, think about it. Like, that's what y'all are built on. Is
we have a lot to offer. We definitely do.
Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers, Bart Starr, Vince Lombardi. I got it right that time.
Yeah, you did
so good.
But, I mean, there's the Brewers, and there's the Bucks, and there's Miller Park, and there's Milwaukee, and there's Green Bay. A little bit of Madison. But unless you're an outdoorsman and you get to experience what the countryside really has in the state, it's pretty phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not – when you're in California hunting or you're in Stuttgart hunting ducks, you never hear somebody go, man, y'all need to go to Wisconsin to hunt ducks. You don't hear that. You don't hear ever hear, man, you need to go up in Canada goose hunt in Wisconsin. And I think you said you guys harvest more Canada geese per capita than anywhere in the country.
Yes.
But you go to the Front Range of Colorado, North Dakota, Wyoming's big, Nebraska's big, the Eastern Shore of Maryland, the Chesapeake Bay. For Canada geese, I'm talking. Mm-hmm. You never, ever, Wisconsin's, I mean, you hear Rochester, Minnesota, right? You hear some in Ohio. You never hear Wisconsin.
I think
when I'm in North Dakota, it's always people from Wisconsin. Like, Wisconsin floods North Dakota when I'm there.
Everywhere I go,
it's like, oh, where are you from, Wisconsin? Oh, where are you from, Wisconsin? I'm like, oh, all right. We're all buddies back home. Why not be our buddies out here?
And, you know, we literally spent 2 days together running around. We were in Madison at the Capitol, which was fantastic. Had great meetings there yesterday and today. And one of the things that's a recurring theme that we're trying to figure out how to solve is how to put Wisconsin on the map as an outdoor destination.
Why do you want to?
Well, I think it's good for everybody. First of all, nationally and in the state, hunting numbers are going down. And I think it's part of our obligation to the resource to create educated conservationists in the area of hunting.
Do locals want non-locals to come here and hunt? Are we invited? Are we welcome?
You are welcome.
We are?
Absolutely. I mean, look what happens.
Your resource. It's like your geese, right?
Nobody owns the resource.
Yeah, like...
Unfortunately, I don't know. I'm going to sit right there in between you guys because, I want everybody out hunting with me because, you know, more limits. Yay. Yay us. More food. But also, you don't really trust the out-of-towners. You don't really...
Of course, that's a balance.
Do they know our laws here, our regulations here? Like, do they do
it's
the homework that they're supposed
to?
Yeah, it's a responsibility. But it's like when I go out trolling for walleye and I see hundreds of boats all lined up and nobody's paying attention, I'm like, then we'll just be adding more. But yes, we want people to come here because we want.
You want it until you get it a lot of the times, though.
Yes and no. I mean, everything's balanced, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
if you pull up to a farm that you're used to hunting, and all of a sudden somebody's in there hunting with a bunch of people from California, you're good with it.
Well, that's happening now. I mean, we have a lot of competition in Southeast Wisconsin, but there's a lot of state. And, you know, 20 years ago in Wisconsin, 15 years ago, you could not, well, actually 20 years ago, you could not call during bass tournaments. So we changed that law in Wisconsin.
You did.
I did. Yes, that was my law.
We did.
I changed the law. Well, the legislature and the governor signed it at the time, allowing culling during bass tournaments. And since that happened, now Wisconsin Association of Bass Tournament Anglers, BASS, they come to Wisconsin. You know what happens when tournaments come to Wisconsin or people come to Wisconsin?
Money comes.
Money comes. And guess what happens to my tax bill when money comes to Wisconsin from other states?
It goes down.
Down, down, baby.
Yeah. Tax bill 101. Right there. Mm-hmm. So obviously, every state deals with the fact that it's a balance, don't they? Iowa deals with it when it comes to deer hunting by jacking up their out-of-state fees to like $1,000 to go hunt a buck. So I think that there's some kind of middle ground.
Yeah.
And I also think it's part of our obligation to understand and know what those parameters are for what's good and what's bad. And there's plenty of research that's done.
If you had to guess, how many waterfowl outfitters are in the state of Wisconsin that make their living or have developed a revenue stream of guiding hunters?
10.
That's all.
10?
15, 20.
Wait
a minute.
I'm thinking field hunting.
Are you talking?
Field hunting.
I'm talking
all waterfowl, like sea ducks in Green Bay.
Okay, that's going to be definitely.
I feel like there's quite a few.
You think it's more than 100?
Oh, yeah. Like, are we talking about the whole state of Wisconsin?
Who make their living, he said. Not who do it. Who make a living.
That's just
who are making enough money to support their family all year long based on guiding waterfowl. I bet that number is not big.
Oh, pretty low, yeah.
That's not the question, though. I didn't say that making the living. They might have another job in the summer. But how many people bring groups out to hunt and charge money for it, and they have a legal outfitter's... You probably got to be licensed here, right?
You need a license, guide license, yeah.
Okay, so how many people guide for waterfowl?
I don't know. I bet it's under 100.
I feel like I could
including sea ducks.
Yeah.
That's a lot. You'd have to look into other states of how many outfitters.
Yeah, I don't know the answer to that.
State of Nevada, there's five for waterfowl, maybe. Big game, there's more.
Yeah, I honestly don't know the answer.
I bet you there wouldn't be 100.
Why? Where are we going with this?
Well, the question is that locals love their resource. They take ownership of it. Road rage is developed because we all think we own the roads. We don't. You get pissed because somebody drives different than your mentality, so you start barking, you roll down the window, next thing you're fist fighting. Road rage is developed because we think we have ownership, and when people disrespect that ownership, then all hell breaks loose. Are you allowed to say heck, H-E double hockey sticks?
I think you can say hell.
My point is that, I mean, Arkansas is made it to where non-residents can't hunt certain times of the 60-day duck season. If I show up on a public boat ramp in Arkansas, guaranteed I'm getting my tire slashed. It's just the way it is.
What?
Swear on my
life.
Swear on my life.
Wisconsinites are way too nice.
They hate us for that. They hate us for drawing attention to the resource. You want the tourism. You want the influx of money and expenditures throughout your state. You want the hotel rooms booked and the groceries bought and the gas paid for and the restaurants and the cafes, doors to stay open.
But
then you got all these non-residents running around in boats out there hunting, quote unquote, your ducks and your Wisconsin.
So you're saying it's NIMBY, not in my backyard. We want it in the greater sense,
it's
but we don't
like
want it Stephon to affect
Curry
us.
Saying, but see, support the homeless, but don't build a homeless shelter next to my house. It's just like, yep. let all these people cross the border, but as soon as we put them in Martha's Vineyard or the Hamptons, they freak out. You want the influx of money and tourism, but as soon as the Foul Life comes to a place and films, then we get hammered for it.
See, what I think about that is those people that are slashing your tires, they chose to live there. It's not like they didn't think, oh, I'm going to live next to this marshland, this flooded timber, and nobody's going to come hunting. You chose that house. You chose that life.
No. So they're not living there. They're living in Arkansas. They don't live next to the marsh. They have a 60-day season to hunt as much as they can, and they take ownership of those birds to the point to where it's illegal for non-residents to hunt certain times of the duck season in Arkansas now.
That's how it is in North Dakota, too. We're not allowed to shoot geese, like, past... Well, I think that's just in general, just
that's
kidding.
In general. But, yeah, I mean, in South Dakota, you have to have a tag. You have to draw a license. You have to apply for a non-resident tag in South Dakota, which is fine. They only give a certain amount of tags out. But as a state that it's enriched as much as Wisconsin is...
You'll find this basic definition: wet pieces of curdled milk.
Huh?
Well, it should also include the word delicious. As we continue to celebrate June Dairy Month, do you know how much milk is needed to make 1 pound of cheese curds? 16 ounces, 64 ounces, or 160 ounces, 10 pounds of milk? The answer coming up.
It actually is a sound of freshness.
Rachel Kerr is talking about squeaky curds. She's with the Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin and a bit of a cheese nerd.
Those elastic protein strands rub against the enamel of your teeth and create that characteristic sound.
The squeak turns stretchy when battered and deep fried. Some believe the idea to fry globs of cheese happened by accident. I consider it a happy accident. Okay, so did you guess it takes 10 pounds of milk to make 1 pound of curds? Now we want to know your favorite, and where do you get your squeaky or deep fried curds? Go to our Civic Media Facebook page to share your answers. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Why a RICO charge, counselor? What's that mean to the layperson?
It was written for Organized Crime, Racketeer Influenced and Corrupt Organizations Act. That's where RICO comes from. The notion that you've got an entity whose purpose is to try to perpetuate some crime. It's more than just a singular event. It is a composite of kind of a corporate conspiracy doing things toward this illegal end.
Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Gary from Sussex. Hey, Gary.
Whose birthday is it? Is it both you guys' birthday, or is it Mike's?
It's my birthday today. Mike's was 2 days ago.
I'm going to sing a happy birthday, and I'm going to sing it the right way. Happy birthday to you, Mr. President of his radio station and his sidekick.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6
on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Welcome back to Raised in Wisco. I'm your co-host, Danielle Fairman, alongside Joel Clayfish, and we're with Fall Alive National host, Chad Belding. And before the break, we were talking about why should we let people come from other states to hunt our great woods of Wisconsin?
You're literally saying that you're losing numbers. We're saying that we want to draw more attention to what Wisconsin has to offer. But the question is why? When you wake up every day and get to enjoy it, why do you want to share it? I'm just playing the devil's advocate.
Yeah, I know you are.
Because I love coming here.
I know you're playing devil's advocate. You're one of the people who loves this state and loves to come here.
I love to come here and hunt, but do you really want it exploited?
Well, okay.
Okay,
See how you asked that question.
Pike County, Illinois.
You said you want it exploited. Illinois
was known for what?
Deer hunting.
Giant whitetail.
Giant bucks.
Every TV show started filming there. All the outfitters started moving there. And now you can't kill a 150. Saskatchewan, same thing. There was a time when every American wanted to go north of the border to kill a giant whitetail. Until every American went north of the border to kill a giant whitetail. And now you got to go up there and you might see one good buck. I'm not saying that that's 100% true. You might get lucky. But there is a such thing as overhunting. So do you really want... And we make our revenue... By working with agencies like Tourism Wisconsin, we want to draw attention to it and bring people here. But do the locals want it? Do they support that? Do the locals want to share this resource? It's okay for me to sit in Miller Park last night and buy beer there and pay for parking. Or you paid for parking. But it's it's okay for me to do that as a non-resident. But do you want me to come here and kill your geese?
Let's go
and
like
catch your walleye?
That's going to be in every single state you go to. So what's the solution?
In Wisconsin.
I don't know. The question is tourism. I want to go to Tennessee and it's okay for me to go to Dollywood. But is it okay for me to go there and hunt your turkeys?
Right.
They take ownership of it. Like, what are you doing here? They see those out-of-state license plates. They're like, whoa.
Somebody is going to be hunting them, but they want it to be them.
The residents. It's their birds.
Yes, and every single state deals with that same question. And so far in the state of Wisconsin... We have said, come here, hunt our birds, hunt our turkeys, hunt our deer, and you pretty much get to pay the same amount and have the same impact as our local residents here. We've said that. So my personal belief is, if we're going to say, come to our state and do it, which they're doing right now we have an influx, let's at very least understand the resource we're offering, explain it to folks, charge more for it if we decide that that's mm-hmm. how we want to do it, and utilize the revenue to continue perpetuating the habitat. My answer is yes. My answer is yes.
Well, my answer is yes, too, and it's because the nostalgia and the beauty of hunting is the adventure and what we call the safari. Safari, everybody hears and they think one thing. What do you think of when you hear safari?
Africa.
And it's not. Safari is an adventure. And that's why SCI and Safari Club and your lobbyist for SCI Wisconsin is you could be a squirrel hunter in Alabama and be on a safari. But we have this mindset that you got to be chasing the Dangerous Five or Cape Buffalo or whatever to be on a safari, and that's not true. The joy of hunting is the travel, the anticipation, the newness of it.
So how do we come up with the word safari for SCI? That was because it started for those
adventure
the
club.
Five.
Safari it's adventure. Club. It's an adventure.
It's an adventure club.
So we have giant mule deer in Nevada. I'm a resident of Nevada, born and raised there, third generation. I got 9 years without drawing a tag. I could easily throw a hissy fit and say, this sucks, right? There's non-residents coming into the state this year to kill mule deer. They're going to go kill my 195-inch mule deer that I've been watching for 2 years, and I can't do anything about it. It's ignorant to take ownership of the resource, is my point.
Mm-hmm. 100%
you should want people, you yourself as a resident of Wisconsin should make it a goal to go experience the Yellowstone River in Montana and the mallard hunting on it, or the sugar beet fields in Forsyth, Montana, and what mallard ducks and canada geese do there.
You're absolutely hitting it on the head.
Nice. You should make it a goal of yourself. So I played devil's advocate only to say that there's a certain prosperity in life that comes with that anticipation and that newness. And Wisconsin people have always welcomed it, as far as I'm concerned. They've never said no to us. I've never got my tire slashed in Wisconsin for coming here. But are they ready for it? And I think that they are, as far as they want to welcome people to this state to experience it. And I think that that's neat. I think that that's a cool feeling. So my point is that I hope that Wisconsin wants to welcome people and roll out the red carpet for non-residents to come and enjoy your guys' resource, because it's not my fault that I wasn't born in Wisconsin.
But I also think we need to raise the prices for them, though, for out-of-staters.
Well, that's
non-residents.
I feel like we definitely need to raise the prices. So one of the tough things to,
why?
From a marketing perspective is why raise prices if you're trying to get people to experience it?
And if you're trying to become a mentor and develop a new breed and a new generation of hunters,
right.
Why make the barrier even more?
Correct.
Because in my head, I'm thinking this is a negative outlook, but if you can pay to play, then you're obviously well-rounded enough.
But that's not fair.
Well, then hunt in your state.
But that's the thing is that if I...
Because in your state, you're a resident, so it's going to be cheaper
than coming
that
to Wisconsin. But the reason that I'm coming to Wisconsin is because you guys are lucky to have it, and we want to experience it. So just because... I'm not saying that non-residents aren't going to pay more. I get that.
Mm-hmm.
But to say... We want to build, we're losing hunters like Joel started this conversation with. But instead of making it more affordable, we want to make it more difficult. So what do we want? Do we want more hunters to ensure this awesome lifestyle for generations to come? Do we want to develop mentorship programs and get new blood into this?
Yes.
Right. Because no matter if you say, well, in Montana, I don't want veterans hunting on Sunday. Well, that's dumb. Ugh. You should let veterans hunt on Sunday.
Yes.
They fought for this country. There shouldn't be no question.
Absolutely.
Well, he's going to go in there and kill the buck that I worked so hard
thing?
For. Yeah. There's all these things. So the thing is, the point is that I don't want to pay a whole bunch to hunt here. I like to go to a state that says, Chad, Mr. Belding, thank you for coming. We offer a 5-day non-resident license for $100. Gladly give you my money. I don't have to pay $280 for a full season. But then I look at it like, well, what if I come back in the spring for turkey? When does the license end? Is it a calendar year? Does it go by seasons? Does it end?
Is it five separate days?
Yeah, all that.
Once I start,
is it consistent? I want to know all that. And you can learn all that through the travels. Again, you can't be ignorant to the law. It's our responsibility to know the laws of these different states and the charges and the licenses that you have to have.
This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct on WGBW.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. Former Putin ally Yevgeny Prigozhin is heading to exile in Belarus after a deal to call off his mercenary group's march on Moscow. Secretary of State Antony Blinken telling ABC's This Week that the armed uprising by private troops fighting in Ukraine is a major reversal for Putin's invasion.
16 months ago, Putin was on the doorstep of Kyiv in Ukraine, looking to take the city in a matter of days, erase the country from the map. Now he's had to defend Moscow, Russia's capital, against a mercenary of his own making.
Crews in Montana continue to monitor the Yellowstone River after train cars containing molten sulfur and asphalt derailed, crossing a collapsed bridge over the river. The FBI says it's aware of suspicious letters sent to two Montana lawmakers that contained a mysterious white powder substance. The state's attorney general urging lawmakers to use caution when opening mail. Just last week, similar envelopes sent to Republican lawmakers in Tennessee and around 100 mainly Republican officials in Kansas. This is ABC News.
News is brought to you by Gingras Thompson & Wachs, a statewide team of personal injury lawyers getting you the justice you deserve. Call 855-954-1186 for a free consultation. The law firm of Gingras Thompson & Wachs has a track record of making life-changing, positive differences for their clients. $5.25 million to a woman who suffered brain injuries and her husband passed away when struck by a drunk driver. $1 million to three different individuals injured by drunk drivers. $1 million settlement to a man injured in a motorcycle accident. Call Gingras Thompson & Wachs, 855-954-1186. 954-1186.
GTWLawyers.com.
The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Gathered's Farmers Market Series is back with artisanal food, craft cocktails, craft beer, and a curated playlist featuring touring bands complimentary of Nicolet Bank. Every Wednesday this summer until September 24th, our doors will be opening at 4 p.m. with concerts starting on June 14th and running through August 16th. This year, we're also excited to feature some exclusive Hinterland brews along with our ever-expanding list of signature Gather cocktails. Grab a drink, find a spot, and enjoy Gather's Farmers Market Series every Wednesday through September 2nd. With one call, the Civic Media Network of stations can deliver your business's message to the entire state of Wisconsin.
Or your hometown.
Marketing plans that work for your business. One call can do it all. Civic Media, 608-819-8255. This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup. Starting at 6 a.m., The Mayor and Mino. Then at 8, The Earl Ingram Show. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crude. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show.
On 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Why a RICO charge, counselor? What's that mean to the layperson?
It was written for organized crime, racketeer influenced and corrupt organizations act. That's where RICO comes from. The notion that you've got an entity whose purpose is to try to perpetuate some crime. It's more than just a singular event. It is a composite of kind of a corporate conspiracy doing things toward this illegal end.
Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6
on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ed Council and Pivotal Ventures.
Co-host Danielle Fairman alongside Joel Clayfish, and we're with Foul Life national host Chad Belding. And before the break, we were talking about why should we let people come from other states to hunt our great woods of Wisconsin. And it was a debate because we were either thinking that we should keep all the prices and regulations the same amount for non-residents and residents, or we should up the non-residents. And I am still going to stand with my whole, I feel like we should charge, not the whole full season price, but at least more, because you can make this an actual, a vacation, a goal, instead of just saying, I'm going to go here this week, I'm going to go here this next week. Like, you have to work for it. You have to do something, and it's...
But you are working for it if you just go and pay the regular price. So, like, there's got to be a reason for the uptick, and the uptick is that... Yeah, if you're not a resident and you're not paying state taxes or state income tax or whatever the laws are in that state, yeah, you are going to pay more as a non-resident. And I mm-hmm. accept that, but it can't be out of wits. It can't be out of reach. It has to be fair, and it has to. That's all I was saying is that, yeah, as a non-resident, I expect to pay more. Okay, yeah. Like I'm fine with that. It's just that you don't want to have it too much intimidation factor. It's already intimidating enough with how difficult it is to be successful. So we, if we're going to want to get new blood into this and have mentorship programs, we have to understand that this country, no matter where you're born, is still our country. We're all Americans. Okay. I've hunted with Italians. I've hunted with Russians. I've hunted with Argentinians. I've hunted with so many different people that are not natural born citizens of America, and they love it. I'm not going to tell them no. When my buddy Giuseppe comes over here from Italy and says, I want to go goose hunting, I'm not going to say no. We're going to figure it out. And we're going to make it legal. That's what the outdoors is all about.
It is.
And I want Wisconsin to open their doors like they do in so many other ways, to visit your state and enjoy the beauty. 15,000 lakes. Minnesota claims 10,000. There's 15,000 lakes in Wisconsin.
It is absolutely beautiful.
I want to catch walleye in every one of them. And I want to be welcome to do it. And I want to do it with locals.
And it's perfect because you are welcome. Everybody is welcome. As long as you come here with a happy, smiley face and want to get to know everybody, eat the good food that we have, the cheese curds.
We get along. We get along as hunters.
And that's how it is when you go other places too. Like, I don't have as many experiences as you, but I keep going to North Dakota every year. Like, that's my place that I go to because I don't have that kind of flooded fields here like that. Like, that's my happy place. But I want that for Wisconsin for everybody else. Like, that'd be perfect. But I'm going to change the subject because I did have a couple questions I wanted to ask you.
Okay.
So changing it. Now, I'm not like Joel. I don't have the whole big fancy office and everything. I'm not down on the bottom total pole pushing dirt operator, right? So I don't have many experiences and I have a lot of goals and ambitions as everybody else does, right? So we're going to change this to pep talk or TED talk.
TED talk.
You successfully have done the Fall Life back in 2008, correct?
Started
in 2008. And then you had a company prior to that.
And we started Banded the same year.
A band?
Banded.
Oh, they said Banded.
The company Banded.
Yep. And then what else did you have? You had the Fall Life and then you turned into the Fall Life podcast.
Yeah.
And what else is there?
Jargon.
Jargon, yep.
The
Jargon.
Provider.
And what drove you to do all that? Like, what started, okay, I want to start this Fall Life. Like, how did that thought start? Like, how did you come so inspirational to people nationwide?
The story is that I had an opportunity and mentors like Fred Zink from Ohio and companies like Avery Outdoors back when I started traveling and filming and competing in duck and goose calling contests, opportunity was there for me to go out and learn from the, that's really what I wanted to do is I wanted to build a network and I wanted to be a sponge and I wanted to learn. Mm-hmm. And I got an opportunity to hunt in Saskatchewan with Fred Zink. And we were filming for a DVD series called 24/7. And Ducks Unlimited was up there with a TV show called Water Dog with Shannon Nardi was the producer and Justin Tackett was the host. And we started talking, we broke bread, we'd become fast friends. There's really easy to become friends in the duck blind or goose blind. And
it is.
They asked me where I was from. I told them, I said, well, we've never filmed out west. And I said, well, come on out. So they did. They came to Nevada. We went to Idaho and Oregon. And we had a great time. And they had this dog named Yellow, this little lab. And she was so cool. And that's how the Fowl Life started, was that I got a call from their production company in Oklahoma. It's called Divine Productions. And they asked me, would you ever be interested in doing a show about you? And I said, yeah, I want to run with it. Let's try it. And at that time, I owned a portable toilet company, and I was a pumper of toilets. And I loved it. It taught me a lot about business and the entrepreneurial spirit. And as we started to get into this idea of the Fowl Life, which became the Fowl Life, original name was Dr. Duck.
Dr.
And
Duck.
I was going to write a prescription to success every episode. And I'm like, well, I'm not really qualified for that. I don't have a lot of credibility. And so Paris Hilton and Nicole Richie, Paris Hilton and then Lionel Richie's daughter had a show on MTV at the time called The Simple Life.
Okay.
And I'm like, I wonder if I named this The Fowl Life. And I showed different locations and personalities and all the things that go in to being on the road and experiencing the migration and all these different flyways. And that's what we did. We landed on The Fowl Life. One thing led to another. The production company had an illness in the family. Oh. And it turned into me saying, well, can I try this on my own? And we literally went to Saskatchewan and filmed episode number one And now we're going into season 16 to start filming season 16. And off of that became a lot of opportunities. We developed Banded, and we have 4,000 products in our line at Banded now. We were able to purchase Avery and Avery Sporting Dog and Greenhead Gear decoys. And then off of it became, I love to cook and I love wild game. And mm-hmm. so I had this provider mentality. I think that we were put on this earth to work. You got to have a work. Your mentality has to be to provide for you and yours and your family and friends, and to share and to be selfless and to not put yourself first. And the provider mentality, the heart of a hunter, mm-hmm. to me was always about being unorthodox, thinking outside of the box and wowing people with the table fare. So the provider was born. Then I was like, I remember when I was in college and these guys, you know, we were in this classroom and I was playing baseball and I was cocky as heck. And they're like, you know, I had this professor tell me, you know, you cocky ass baseball players, you're out there speaking your jargon. Oh. And so I remembered this name and trademarked it from college. And so when we had the opportunity to develop our duck call line and our goose call line, I said, I want to name it Jargon.
It's perfect.
And so Jargon became like the basis of it. Jargon, the meaning of it is the specialized vocabulary amongst a group of people. So if you were to sit in a cockpit of a plane and put the headphones on and listen to air traffic control talk to a pilot, mm-hmm. you wouldn't understand one thing they said.
Not a thing.
And then if you're in a surgery room and a doctor's scalp, boom, you're like, what? If you're on a baseball field, the jargon is different than on a basketball court. Yep. So in duck hunting, in waterfowl hunting, there was these three levels of jargon that were, the first one was you talk to your hunting buddies. Hey, let's scout, get down, cover up, pull the jerk string, shake the decoys, mm-hmm. go out and, you know, and then you have a certain level of jargon with your dog. Watch, steady, blind retrieves, you know, you yell their name. If it's a mark, you're like, where's your mark? And then you send them. And then the third level of jargon was the negotiation with the wild animal. So through a call and vocabulary and jargon, you're able to negotiate with wild animals to get them intimate, you know, to have this intimate relationship or this intimate encounter with them. So jargon was born. And then off of that came American Almond Beef and then Cowboy Choice and Buck and Bull. We have all these brands that they're successful because of one thing is passion. They're all passion projects. I don't chase money. I don't chase the mighty dollar. All of that will come if you do things right and you communicate mm-hmm. and you stay honest in your approach and real with yourself. So to be an influencer and inspiration or to sign somebody's hat or to have the ability to do what we do, you got to pinch yourself. Like I've had experiences that absolutely blow my mind. Like I'm like, this is all because of a mallard duck and my passion for duck hunting. We have an unbelievable team. My brothers, Clinton Clay and Jennifer Swenson and Tom Rashashin and a local kid from here that I met through Joel, and his name's Jack Rolandi. He's a full-time employee of TFL Productions now. And I met him just like him, you know, he's producing like this and he's filming, and I saw some of his work and I'm like, I wonder if this cat would want to move across the country from, from Chicago and he's from Chicago. He lived here part of duck season, Wisconsin. And he did. And he loves it. He's challenged every day. And one day he's editing a video of a duck hunt. And the next day he's editing a Jack Daniels visit to the distillery and picking out whiskey. And the next day he's editing a Whiskey Myers concert, right? So like it's diversification. It's thinking outside the box. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like pushing the envelope every day and not being afraid to take a risk. Because it's hard when I'm in the toilet business and it's guaranteed money all the time. And I'm like, I'm going to go be a duck hunter. And you got to like sacrifice. And then if you work hard enough and it's meant to be, it'll come true. But it's not easy. It's the entrepreneurial spirit is alive and well in America, even though a lot of people in our, you know what, government don't want us to have it anymore. I'm a true believer in the entrepreneurial spirit of America. I'm a true believer in free enterprise and small business, mom and pop stores, the mm-hmm. story, the culture, and being able to create that through a desire, a want, a need, a necessity, and say, man, this was just a dream. It was just called The Foul Life. It was supposed to be this little TV show. And now it's prospered into one of the most influential brands of all time in hunting, Banded. And it's prospered into stuff that I always want to be full of humility. So I don't like saying, well, it's humbled me, because it doesn't. I want to stay humble before all that. But it really makes me sit back and go, oh my gosh, this is America. You have the ability to do this mm-hmm. if you really want to do it. So you saying that you're at the bottom of the totem pole and that you're pushing dirt, that's awesome. If you do it with, like I've always said, like I love walking into a high school and seeing a janitor whistling Dixie with his keychain and his mop And he's just loving life.
He just loves his job.
And he knows that that next day, those kids are going to come into that school and be safe and clean and secure and have pride in that student body and that gym and that in that assembly or whatever it is, because that janitor took pride in doing it.
Yep.
And just like those teachers are taking pride. So being a heavy equipment operator, like I told Joel in our last podcast, man, I think it's unreal that all these different walks of life, whether you're Kid Rock or Zach Brown or Walker Buehler or the richest guy in the world, or you're a fourth year apprentice in the heavy equipment operation program, you can all come together and hunting camp and you're all equal.
Yep.
And that's what Mother Nature and the outdoors does. And that's why the Fowl Life's successful.
And that's not any other way I would want to think about that. That's exactly what it is. It's to bring people together. It is to be comfortable around everybody and be equal, because that's what we need to be equal and stop changing everything. But don't get me wrong, I love my job. I absolutely love my job. I finally found my career at 32 years old. So happy. But I know we have to cut this segment short too. So thank you so much, Chad. It has been an absolute experience.
No problem.
I have listened to your podcast for a little over a year now. It's new to me. I'm newer to hunting, but it's definitely a game changer.
Thank you for listening.
Absolutely. On the way to work, it's so perfect. But you have been listening to Raised in Wisco. We have Chad Belding from The Fowl Life, Joel Clayfish, our host, and I'm Danielle Fairman. Thank you for listening.
Man, I got to tell you,
did you record that one? Did we get that one?
Fun. What a great time. Yes. One of the most exciting things that he talked about in there was the entrepreneurial spirit that it takes to be a hunter, to be a gatherer in the state of Wisconsin, to get out there in the field. It is not something that is without motivation or without forethought.
It's not for the faint of heart.
Right. But at the very same time, when you talk about those who enjoy the waters and woods of Wisconsin, you're talking about basically the essence of every single person in Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. If you're born and raised in this state, you are aware of the resources around you as you grow up. And as you understand field-to-table eating, you start to realize, wait a minute, we're not just talking about going out and killing an animal. We're talking about the foraging capabilities, ramps, mushrooms, mm-hmm. chicken of the woods, pheasant of the woods, all the different mushrooms that are out there, the things that grow on the side of the road, wild asparagus, making that part of your life and part of your lifestyle. You know, we were talking with our producer Anastasia earlier, and you know, we may be different philosophically from each other, okay? But we both agree that the offerings of the outdoors and the conservation of Wisconsin crosses that political spectrum, and that is exciting. Chad Belding was on the show with us. Danielle, great job with the second half of that interview. That was fascinating. Very good stuff. When we come back, we're going to talk about what's going on in Wisco and what's coming up this summer. You're listening to Raised in Wisco on 540 AM WAUK. I'm your host, Joel Clayfish, along with Danielle Fairman. We'll be right back. Up inside the slide, girl, by my side, girl. Yeah, we can run this town. I can rock your world. We can roll them down. Cruise around, get stuck. Pedal to the metal till the sun comes up. I made a deal with the man on the moon. He's gonna put in some overtime. We got all night. When it comes to achieving successful jury verdicts and settlements, one law firm stands out above the rest. Gingras Thompson & Wachs, a $6.2 million settlement for a woman permanently paralyzed as a result of medical malpractice. $4.9 million to members of a family injured due to the negligence of a truck driver and his employer. Call Gingras Thompson & Wachs today, 855-954-1186. All in to win, Gingras Thompson & Wachs,
GTWLawyers.com. Sign up for Bucktussle Internet in June and get 3 months free. You heard that right. 3 months of free internet service. For Shawano and Okano counties, call Amanda at 920-600-4760. That's 920-600-4760. And for Brown, Manitowoc, and Kewaunee counties, call Scott at 920-530-1311. 920-530-1311.
One call can do it all. Your business's message can be broadcast across the entire state of Wisconsin through the Civic Media Network of stations, or we can focus the campaign in your hometown. We have the flexibility. You have the control. Civic Media, 608-819-8255.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment.
We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry
and Jane Mattenair.
Before I send boxes over, I have to take all of my things out. These boxes were interspersed with all sorts of things.
But who doesn't stuff their pants and their shoes into a box full of work documents to sort out later? Every time I leave a job, that's what I end up doing with my box of work papers. Bras go in there and just, you know, and I'll sort it out later.
As Goes Wisconsin, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
In 1964, my grandfather was a drinker back in the day. Put him down.
Welcome back to Raised in Wisconsin. I'm your host, Joel.
But
life is alongside Danielle
and Mary.
What an exciting week we've had here in Wisconsin with national host of The Foul Life, Chad Belding, in town. Mike Crute swinging by the studio from The Devil's Advocate, if you listen to him. You know, we talk about philosophies being different in the state of Wisconsin, and Mike and Dom, they may have very different philosophies from us. But one thing that draws us together is our love and our passion for the great state of Wisconsin. When it comes to a love for this state, I don't care if you're Democrat, Republican, I don't care if you're Trump supporter, Trump hater, it doesn't matter. Mm-mm. The state of Wisconsin is joined together for people because of the love we have for this state. And I think that supersedes a lot of the states around the country. Don't you, Danielle?
Oh, yes. The love for the great outdoors in particular for all my Wisconsin friends out there, because it definitely brings us together to go kayaking, to go hiking, to go anywhere just to be outdoors.
And
we all grew up
going,
being outdoors, drinking out of the garden hose, like,
yes,
be outside.
Oh, I know. This whole, if you'd have said to me when we were young that we're going to be drinking water, bottled water out of a bottle, I would have said you're absolutely crazy. We grew up drinking out of garden hoses. Like if you wanted cold water, you poured it out of the tap into a jar or a can,
mm-hmm,
and put it in the refrigerator and drank it later, and it was cold water. Otherwise, you were drinking lukewarm tap water or out of the hose. And the funniest thing to me, is like Avion. Remember Avion? You're too young to remember Avion.
No, I mean, I have no idea.
It's a type of bottled water. Anastasia, do you remember Avion? Have you seen
Avion?
Evian.
Avion.
Okay.
Hey, don't get on me for pronouncing it with my French accent.
Oh,
okay?
Your French accent.
Avion.
Okay.
Joël. But you don't understand. I'm drinking Avion.
So when we were young, we drank Avion. Evian, they're calling it now. So Evian, spelled backwards, is the word naive. How funny is that? And I would say, well, you're naive if you're drinking bottled water. And here I am now, like, I'll be in a place.
Full
like,
circle.
I'm thirsty.
Full circle.
Do you have any bottled water? I mean, come on. Holy first world problems, Batman. Do you have bottled water?
Mm-hmm.
I bet the Kennedys drink out of the tap still.
Out of the tap still.
They are down home folks.
So my particular thing for me is I cannot have bottled water.
Why?
Because it all started because when I was chugging water, because I work outside in construction, I sweat
so
all day long, right?
A lot of water.
Chug, chug, chug. Every time I would drink water and chug, I would think, I'm getting a headache because I need more water. So I drink more water, but then I get a worse headache and I get a worse and worse and worse. Once I stopped drinking bottled water and just drinking water from the tap with like liquid IV in it, problem solved. I stopped getting migraines. I stopped getting headaches. And it's either the BPA in all of it, or it has to be vapor.
Yeah, except there's no BPA in bottles anymore. It's not even legal anymore, I don't think.
That is what made me to believe, because I can drink smart water because it's vapor distilled. So I have no idea, but if I drink smart water or tap water,
what about
gravy.
You're good out of the tap, though?
Gravy, yep.
Well, that's good, I guess. I mean,
that was just a little TM, little information about me.
That's an aside there.
Side note.
Yeah, the whole bottled water thing just kind of drives me crazy. But I have to say, there are cool products right now if you're an outdoors person, whether you're just a camper, a fisherman, or a hiker. They have so many of these clarifying straws.
Mm-hmm.
If you like these little things you can throw in your backpack or frankly in your pocket anymore.
Yep.
You can drink out of any stream, creek, any water source. I mean, you could probably drink out of a puddle if you wanted to, but they clarify and purify the water to drink it. I mean, that kind of stuff didn't exist ages ago.
And no.
Could you imagine? I mean, like if they had this, like back when this country was being settled, because a lot of people died of like simple things like dysentery and stuff. When Wisconsin was being settled, people were dying because there was maybe a bacteria in the water and they didn't have, you know, they didn't have penicillin wasn't completely developed at that time. And so now I think that stuff is cured very easily. You know, we haven't even really had a chance to talk about the fact that I got back from South Africa.
No,
I was in South Africa.
Not.
And I had, I was harvested a few animals there. We ate. And what we do over there is phenomenal because anybody who's ever critical of African hunting, I don't think they necessarily understand what's happened, what happens. You hunt animals in Africa, and when you do that, the meat is used. Some of it's sold in a butcher shop. Some of it's eaten by the people at camp. I mean, I loved Cook the Wild Game. So, I mean, we were making gemsbok, remoulade, and all sorts of awesome dishes. And then some of that is used for the needy or the tribes that may be poor and are looking for a protein source, which is fantastic. And the income that is utilized by folks in South Africa is often used to enhance water systems or create clean water sources. So I think it is a total win. And the criticism of African hunting, I think, is often misunderstood. And so, you know, that is something that's a topic for bigger discussion. But one of the coolest things to me, I'm about utilizing resources, period.
Yes.
So I want every bit of the meat of an animal harvested to be utilized as consumption, as a protein source. I don't stop there. I think the bones, I think the skin should all be utilized. And I
what do you do with the bones?
Well, I mean, make jewelry. Oh, a ton of jewelry is made out of the bones and antlers and horns of animals. I even fingernails, claws. I have jewelry personally that I've made that I wear. I have belt buckles, accoutrements on my belt buckles and things like that. But there's a guy in Muskego, Wisconsin. I think technically he lives in Hales Corners. His name is Butch Ledoux, Ledoux Leather. And he's my leather dude. And he makes stuff out of alligator skins. And he made these awesome pillows for me. If you're watching on the Facebook, here, look, check this thing out. This is so fantastic. This is a Gemsbacher horned oryx.
That's put
pillow
together so
he
nicely.
Made. I mean, and he makes this all like handcrafted stuff. Butch Ledoux is just absolutely crazy. He's so
I'm
talented.
I'm in awe of that. That's
he's totally talented. And so, I mean, this is going to go in my house or in the office. I've got 11 of them.
What are you going to do with 11?
11? I don't
I
even
I think you're the only man to have
11 pillows.
More than 11
pillows made. And my point is, utilize all the sources of your resource, because if God's going to put them on earth and you're going to actually have the, if you're going to go to the length of taking a life, which I think we need to do to sustain ourselves, utilize the resource and all of it that you can. I mean, that's something that's super important to me for hunting.
Oh yeah. It should be important to every hunter out there, because God did create these beautiful creatures. Like, look at a wood duck. The
oh my
colors
gosh. Wood
of
ducks
them,
are just beautiful.
I get blown away. I look at mine. Yes, very delicious. Or like when you're butchering a deer, the deer you harvested, you first buck, whatever, when you're butchering it, you got to inspect it, look at the anatomy, but then you got to take the hide. I would never have made a pillow of that.
Yeah, but why not?
Well, for
now
one,
you know.
I can't, so, right. No, so I'm going to take it to Butch Ledoux.
No, you have to have it tanned first, and then you have it started. And, of course, now we're out of time already.
Oh, wow. Wow.
I love this show is so fun. It really is fun to do. And it's, you know, the audience is growing and we're growing. Civic Media is into 18 stations throughout Wisconsin now. And the show's going to get better and better, and we want you to be a part of it. So keep listening to Raised in Wisco. I'm your host, Joel Clayfish, alongside Daniel Fairman. We'll see you next week.
See you next week.
Look up cheese curds. You'll find this basic definition: wet pieces of curdled milk.
Huh?
Well, it should also include the word delicious. As we continue to celebrate June Dairy Month, do you know how much milk is needed to make 1 pound of cheese curds? 16 ounces, 64 ounces, or 160 ounces, 10 pounds of milk? The answer coming up.
It actually is a sound of freshness.
Rachel Kerr is talking about squeaky curds. She's with the Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin and a bit of a cheese nerd.
Those elastic proteins protein strands rub against the enamel of your teeth and create that characteristic sound.
The squeak turns stretchy when battered and deep fried. Some believe the idea to fry globs of cheese happened by accident. I consider it a happy accident. Okay, so did you guess it takes 10 pounds of milk to make 1 pound of curds? Now we want to know your favorite and where do you get your squeaky or deep fried curds? Go to our Civic Media Facebook page to share your answers. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590.